We're calling a Senate Judiciary Committee to order with hugs and kisses and such. We're going to start with 2308, work session, council.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, House Bill 2308A, we had testimony on this and we heard some testimony about it last week. And we have the A6 amendment.
Okay, and these are Senator Burdick, Senator?
That is correct. And basically what this does is it would keep the charges, again, for these making copies no more than $25 for copying 10 or few pages of written material and no more than 25 cents per page for each additional page. Post in the line 11, postage cost to mail copies of protected health information or an explanation or summary of protected health information. If the individual or person representative of the individual requested that information be mailed, and actual cost of preparing an explanation or summary of protected health information. Here's the difference. In line 19, the OHSU would be exempt from this requirement.
All right, we're in work session. Senator Ringo.
I just have a clarification on this, and maybe I could, Mr. Cosgrove could testify.
Sure.
Paul?
Mr. Chair, for the record, Paul Cosgrove.
I was just curious about the changes on this, or maybe Mr. Prince, where there are some changes about we're adding language provided by an individual or personal representative of the individual. Is that meant to be a substantive difference than what we passed in 2305? Do you know?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ringo, that change was made by Legislative Council in the original version of 2308, okay. And it is carried through in every single proposed amendment. I think it's a grammatical clarification.
Okay, thank you. There was an issue raised as to whether the schedule that we arrived at 2305 applied to attorneys requesting records on behalf of their clients. And it's your understanding that it does, and that under these amendments it would also.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ringo, correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now I don't know what he said.
Grammatical change.
Thank you for responding. Thank you for providing one of the most deeply satisfying moments of the entire legislative session.
Senator Burdick moves the adoption of the A6 amendment to House Bill 2308. Discussion. Any objections? Motion passes. Senator Burdick?
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2308 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Burdick moves House Bill 2308 to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Motion passes. And who wants to carry that bill? Who?
Jenny or Charlie?
Senator Burdick wants to carry that bill. 2494. Skip. 2498. Session.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 2498. We have had discussion on this. This is the judgments bill.
All right, and I understand there's agreement on the A9 amendment.
The which amendment?
A9, is that right?
I think, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the A9 amendment is the amendment that deals with professional negligence of a person licensed by the Board of Medical Examiners or the Oregon State Board of Nursing, and it's my understanding that is the one that you've got agreement on.
Right.
And this would return it to its original as introduced form.
All right. Great. Senator Ringo?
Chair, I move the dash A9 amendments to House Bill 2498.
All right. Senator Ringo moves the adoption of the A9 amendment to House Bill 2498. Discussion? Any objections? Hearing none. Senator Ringo.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2498 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Ringo now moves House Bill 2498 to the floor with the Senate with a due pass recommendation as amended. Discussion. Any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Who wants to carry that?
Okay.
Senator Ringo will carry that one.
Gee, these are so easy.
3520.
We got two amendments, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I want to make sure we've got both the amendments. You should have
an A3,
which has been conceptually amended. This is Representative Przanski's amendment, and we wanted to make clear this is this would delete the bill that is coming over, the A and Gross bill. And I can let Representative Przanski speak to the issue it raises, and then we should have the A4s If we don't have those before you, then I've
got them right here.
Okay. So, Floyd, do you want to come up and tell us what we're...
You got them that quick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The Dash A3s is really a continuation of two other bills that this committee's already heard and passed. It's specifically geared to prohibiting a particular city in the city of Coburg from running a radar speed trap on Interstate 5. Currently, for your, as a background and review, that city does not have any jurisdiction over Interstate 5. In other words, it's not within their city limits. After this body has passed both of these bills and they've been signed by the governor, they continue to run traffic enforcement, speeding on the interstate. And the thing that has reached a concern for me is that they've now actually started running radar north of their community, running northbound traffic. So in other words, anyone who's actually passed the exit to Coburg and it's on their way up to Albany are potentially getting sighted by city police 2.5 to 3 miles north of their exit. I find this unacceptable, and it appears that even with my discussions with the mayor, that they are not stopped this practice. And speaking with the representative from the City League of Cities, she was assured that they were not running radar anymore until she called today to find out what was going on, and they did not deny that they were still running radar. On Saturday of this past week, while we were in session, I had to drive back and forth. I left my house a little after 7 in the morning. I went through the Coburg area at 7:30 a.m. on a Saturday. They're running radar with one of their motorcycle cops. I came back after waiting to see if this committee was actually going to be meeting on Saturday evening. I came back through that area about 7:45 p.m., approximately 12 hours later, and there's a motorcycle cop running radar on I-5 for the city of Coburg. They have just not gotten the message. I've ran and gotten revenue information. They're bringing in six-digit numbers into their coffers. And as much as we want to make certain that our streets are safe and public safety is taken care of, it's my opinion these individuals are basically running a quota games, and they're actually basically profiting at the expense of not only Oregonians but also other people from out of state. I've received numerous phone calls and emails from individuals who have been getting stopped on I-5 by city police. Again, this city has no authority, no jurisdiction, in the sense of it being within their city limits of any portion of I-5. And I think that it's time to basically send the message that they are not going to be able to do this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Farrell.
Mr. Chairman, a question for Representative Posansky.
Mm-hmm.
Has any person that's been cited raised jurisdictional issues or appealed their conviction in this extraterritorial manner to a higher court?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ferraroli, I know of two attorneys who have contacted me that are actually handling cases as we speak. I do not know what, if any, result has come of them. One attorney is out of Cottage Grove. The other one's out of Eugene. I know the one in Cottage Grove is basically taking cases for nothing because he is also appalled by the conduct they're doing. He's also a city prosecutor for the city of Cottage Grove. So there are attempts of trying to get some of this underhand, but at the same time, what we're going to see is that they're going to continue because I believe the profit margin is so great that they will just continue to do this, and just they may not be able to get both streams of money that goes through the court and the police department through our funding formula, but they will continue to do it. And it just seems to me that enough is enough for them for doing this. This will not prohibit any city of a population of 5,000, or if they're under 5,000 and they actually have jurisdiction, meaning the city limits includes the interstate, from continuing to enforce the law like they should be doing, and I want them to continue to do. But this is the only way I've been able to come up with a means of dealing with this particular city, and I believe, as I've heard from others who have talked to me, if you have people that are basically running radar for profit and making money off of that for the intent of just basically funding their department or their city, that we need to make certain that that's not the principle or the basis that they're working under.
Mr. Chairman, follow-up.
Senator Farrell.
It seems to me that the good representative Posansky is testifying that they currently do not have lawful authority to do what they are doing. In other words, they are not currently following the law.
Mr. Chair, Senator Farrelly, what they have the right to do as a sworn police officer in the state of Oregon is enforce the laws throughout the state, anywhere in the state. But what they have to do is when they're enforcing that law, they need to put it in the appropriate court. They used to use the Lane County Circuit Court as well as the Justice Court, which is the Lane Central Justice Court, which is in Springfield. I have actually had the numbers sent to me as to looking at what the fluctuation is. About a year ago, thereabouts, the city of Coburg decided, hey, instead of sending this through the Justice Court or through the Circuit Court, you know, if we just cite these people in our court, we'll actually get the court side of the money in this formula. And just looking at the numbers, that's why I've been able to come up with that they've cleared somewhere in the six-figure because they're basically taking both revenue streams and they're basically cutting out, let's call it the middleman or the middle person, being the court of appropriate jurisdiction.
So in answer to my question, that was a no, I think, Mr. Chairman. In fact, the city of Coburg is following the law. They're doing something they have the legal authority to do. Is that correct?
Yes and no. They have the authority to cite people outside of their jurisdiction.
That's why people hate attorneys, Mr. Chairman. Yes and no.
Well, I want to make sure that we got this right on the record. They have the right to cite people. Just as I said, any sworn officer has the right to do that. But they also have the duty to put that into the appropriate court.
Yes.
And they're not doing that.
So, well, Mike Krasowski. Unfortunately for you, there's a call to the house. You have to leave.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I assume the senator will not want me to leave until you're finishing off.
Yeah, as he wends his way to the house to cast an important vote, he can contemplate this question. Are you convinced that passage of this amendment with this legislative package that we're considering will stop this process?
Yes.
Okay, my concern, Mr. President or Mr. Chairman, was that if Coburg was not following the current law, why would passing another law encourage him to follow the law? But it seems as though Coburg may, in fact, have found something of benefit in the existing structure. I'll support this amendment because I went to visit my kids in Eugene the other day and found, in fact, the Coburg municipal police were, in fact, quite evident in activity on Interstate 5 north of Coburg.
Did you get it? I did not get it.
All righty then.
Mr. Chair, my excuse at this point.
Absolutely. You have a great day. treat the speaker with kindness, will you?
Well.
All right, where are we here? Who likes the amendment?
I love his opinion on whether this is going to solve the problem.
You like it. Okay, now we need to get to Christy Munson, you want to talk about this fine piece of legislation.
Chairman, as members of the committee, my name is Christy Munson, for the record, representing League of Oregon Cities, and wanting to testify on this issue isn't quite how I would put it. However, here, and we wanted to say that the League of Oregon Cities absolutely supports a city's ability to act within the law and determine its own reason for doing so. Representative Prozanski cited two things. One, Senator Farrell, you've asked if City of Coburg was acting within the law. They were acting within a loophole of the law regarding which court you're supposed to cite into. And so, yes, they were acting lawfully. But that's interesting that you asked that because really there are two things here. Can you cite on the highway? And then what court do you put it into? This statute, as written, and I'll read it for you, the law enforcement agency of a city with a population of 5,000 people or less may not enforce traffic violations on any portion of an interstate highway not within the city. Well, that affects the citing authority, and that's not been the problem. It's what court you're supposed to send it to. And you know, we're not here to defend any one city's actions. We're just here to make sure that state law isn't used as a very broad brush for a very narrow problem. My boss said it best, is it's using the state legislature as a sledgehammer to hit a fly. And we're hoping that we can find other solutions. Because right now what you're doing is you're passing a law that says any city with a population of 5,000 or less is going to be affected. We don't know what cities are going to be on I-5 in the future with a population of 5,000 or less, and what problems they're going to come across on the interstate, and if they're going to indeed need to enforce certain problems. I think looking ahead to the future, perhaps this isn't the best way to solve the problem. And again, I understand where the good representative is coming from, but perhaps this isn't the best way. The other thing I wanted to mention really quickly is we worked with Representative Prozanski, or discussed an issue with him, this issue before, and he passed some law already to deal with this problem. This has an emergency clause, however, that makes it a closer effective date. So I think that's his concern, is he wants it to step up because he hasn't seen the response he would have liked from the city of Coburg. But I do believe the problem with his last pieces of legislation that he passed regarding what court you cited into would be fixed within after a period of 6 months. So that's the concern, I believe, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's the concern, is he wants to see it faster. I just believe that this piece here and the legalese, this piece is a very broad brush for a very narrow problem.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, the legislature only has one size of a hammer, and that is a sledgehammer. So, the question is Coburg operating a speed trap on I-5?
Chairman, as Representative Senator Farrelly, I wouldn't be able to answer that. I do not know.
Well put. Mr. Chairman, I believe Coburg is operating a speed trap on I-5.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
there's a history of speed traps in Oregon. You know, we used to do it on the east side of the state of Oregon, and some of those speed traps funded whole county governments. But ultimately what happened was the state legislature got engaged and prevented the operations of speed traps. And this is no different. I mean, every so often some municipality or municipal jurisdiction or county government decides they're going to lift the burden from local taxpayers by operating a speed trap. This is no different. I mean, yes, the jurisdictions can cite to the municipal court. We had that when I was a city councilor in Crestwell. We had the option, because we contracted the Lane County Sheriff's Office, to cite to the city court or to cite to the district court. And it really depended on where the offense occurred and the severity of the offense. A lot of the times, the more serious offenses needed to be cited to the higher court because the city couldn't bear the expense of the prosecution. But that isn't what's happening here. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is, what is the city of Coburg police agent doing on Interstate 5 Park with a radar gun when that's not in the city's jurisdiction? If we don't act to send a message that speed traps in Oregon are not appropriate, you'll see one in Cottage Grove and one in Crestwell and one in addition to the one in Coburg, right up and down I-5. It's just not a very intelligent operation.
Okay. The chair gets to do this. We have a hand engrossed A3 that deletes some language. Council, what you tell us about
it? Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, just to make clear, Mr. Chairman, the original A3 did not gut the A engrossed bill and replace it. This will replace that language. And so this is the conceptual amendment that would do so.
Okay. Deleting lines 4 through 27 in page 2.
Correct.
All right.
What is the A4?
The A4, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to talk about that next.
Yeah.
Oh.
You'll love this part. So who's on first? What's on second?
I'm beginning to think we should make a movie about all of this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Smokey and the Bandit.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Brady.
I get the impression, I'd like to ask this to Representative Prozanski again, if I could. The initial bill that you got passed is not yet gone into effect, is that correct?
That's correct.
And does this do the same thing but just has an emergency clause as the other one did? I can't remember the other one.
It does not. This is actually will be prohibiting this particular city or any other city that is within this configuration from enforcing traffic violations on interstate freeways that are not within their city limits. And it's within a city that's under 5,000 that does not have any ties to the interstate because it's not within their city limits.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I just wonder whether this addresses the right problem, because the problem has been that it goes to the municipal court, so they basically double dip on the fines. Is that correct? They can keep everything local by going to municipal court.
That is what they're currently doing, but what they're also doing is they're basically, I think, misusing what we intended for these type of laws, and basically are setting up to even single dip and putting in more money into their revenue, because they're, instead of using their police resources within their city limits for their people, they're actually going out and what I call poaching. They're going out there and raising revenue outside of their city. And that is not what public safety is about, and that's why I've had numerous state troopers, deputies, as well as other city officers from other city departments confront me with the problem that we're trying to fix.
And Mr. Chairman, when they arrest somebody outside the city limits for speeding, does that have to go to district court, or are they putting those into municipal court too?
They're putting those. That's exactly what they're doing right now. They're putting them all into their court. They're let's call it double dipping at this point.
Right. So wouldn't it at least solve part of the problem? I am concerned about, you know, if there's a flagrant, if an officer from some city is cruising up the freeway and someone is going 95 miles an hour, I just hate to have them not be able to act in that situation. So would there be any value in just specifying that anything outside the city limits had to go to district court?
The other bills do require that. This is really going to be limited to very small police departments. And again, really, you're not going to have that problem in the sense of, you don't see most small police departments with their personnel moving from one jurisdiction to another jurisdiction because of the purpose of enforcing. If they needed to actually have an assistance, they'd be able to do that with either the sheriff's or other cities. Larger cities than 5,000 will continue to be able to enforce even outside of the city limits.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I'm not quite done yet. Mr. Chairman, I'm just concerned that, with the cut in state police, now we've raised the speed limit. It just makes me nervous at the broad brush of this, when we do have one problem and that we might be taking more than we need to. Coburg only has like 1,000 people, isn't that correct?
That's correct.
Why don't you make it cities under?
They're getting ready to try to do an expansion, and from what the mayor told me, they expect to have at least 3,500 people. And the sense of what they're attempting to do, and so what I was looking for was their anticipated growth. And I mean, what I would tell you, Senator Burdick, is that most cities are not going to be taking their precious resources and putting them throughout the state to run this type of conduct.
I understand that. It's just that I wouldn't want to foreclose a municipal officer who happened to be outside the city limits from being able
That's
to
revenue.
Get a flagrant violation and being able to move it. I'm not talking about a speed trap.
Well, I think that they wouldn't be able to do it. They'd just have to have assistance with another law enforcement agency. And if it's such a flagrant thing, you would think that they'd be getting that anyway in the way of backup.
Yeah,
another call?
Mr. Chairman.
Then my concern is that the assistance might not be available because of the budget.
Actually, this is just half of the complexity of this thing.
Mr. Chairman, the only mistake I can see so far that the city of Coburg has made is not contrived some mechanism by which the revenue generated goes to the general fund of the state of Oregon.
All right,
that's the real mistake.
You guys have a revenue committee ongoing.
Yeah.
There's a call of the House. We're going to be recessed until 5:00.
Oh, yeah.